from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Appreciate you listening to the G and Ursula Show. Ursula's going to be out today, but joining me today is the new host of Cairo Nights and one of my favorite people on the planet, Mr. Spike O'Neill. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, brother. I missed my invitation to your wedding as one of your favorite people on the planet, but that's okay. We're getting to know each other. We're getting to get the details figured out. I haven't seen you. We've worked together on a handful of occasions. I haven't seen you, I don't think, since your nuptials, and you traveled a little bit with your family. As I filled in where needed. I just want to say congratulations, man. What a wonderful, wonderful time.
I appreciate it, man. I really do appreciate it. And just so you know, you're not the only one that didn't get invited to that. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you. 99% of my family didn't get invited to it. And the reason why is because I wanted peace. I chose peace in a wedding over inviting family.
Now, this just in, G. Scott has the most intelligent wedding in American history.
Right?
I mean, you
ever notice there's always drama centered around weddings?
Constantly. It's the main ingredient. That and icing.
All right. Hey, coming up on the show, we got a lot of stuff going on. Later on in this hour at 9:45, we're going to be talking about the new host of Cairo Nights and the new show itself. So we'll talk about that. And at 9:30, coming up, at first it was about Back the Blue, but now for some reason, there are threats on the FBI. So we discussed that and more, but it's time to give the people what they want. Ursula's top news stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
So the King County Prosecutor's Attorney's Office says they are cracking down on drug dealers, and particularly fentanyl cases. In July, King County officials declared fentanyl a public health crisis. Here's Como News' Hannah Knowles with the latest on what prosecutors are doing.
Three separate cases on Wednesday's arraignment calendar, all related back to one of the most dangerous drugs to ever hit Washington streets, fentanyl. Working in collaboration with Mayor Bruce Harrell's office and Seattle Police, King County's court system is focusing on addressing concerns around the Pike and Pine corridor. In July alone, King County prosecutors filed 26 felony drug dealing cases over 21 business days. Data from the county's overdose dashboard paints a clear picture of the growing concern. Overdose deaths on a sharp incline, rising significantly over the last 2 years.
Gee, will this solve the problem, prosecuting dealers as much as they can?
No, it will not solve the problem. All right, let's do this for a second, okay? Let's talk about, for you, for me, and anybody else, what is the most important thing to you? I'll tell you what's the most important thing to me, okay? Here we go. In 2021, King County had 385 overdose deaths involving fentanyl. Fair? Okay. So far in 2022, King County has had 310 overdose deaths. And it's only August. So at the rate that we are going, we are potentially going to have more deaths in 22 than we did in 21. Okay. Here's where my concern is. If in 2023, there is not a decrease and instead there is an increase, then when are we going to fix the problem? Because what's more important to me is that your loved ones, you or your loved ones, do not die. And real quick, if someone dies of an overdose and the dealer is arrested, question, is the problem fixed? No, it's not. That dealer will eventually get out of jail. That person, that loved one will never come back. So what you are hearing from me is this. We need to quit doing things the same way we've done all of these years and figure out a way to decrease the overdose deaths. Spike?
I couldn't agree with you more about the importance of solving the problem from an institutional perspective. You know, just cleaning up the guys who are in the streets dealing drugs is the tip of the spear to solving this problem, but it's got to be cut at the root. When you pull a dandelion out of your lawn, you got to get the root. You got to go all the way down there. Pardon me, that's probably the sheriff calling me for my opinion. You got to get the root of the problem. You got to stop drugs from coming into the country. And here we go with the political spin on this about the border being uncontrolled. And while all that is a problem, that's not the root of the drug problem. The drugs aren't coming to this country on the backs of people walking across the desert. A wall is not the issue. What needs to be done is interaction with foreign governments to have them step up and do their part in controlling the production and mass transportation of these illegal drugs coming in. And fentanyl and meth are the two monsters that have creeped up in the last 3-5 years because they're easy to make, they're cheaper, and they're more powerful. And there's so much to do. There's so much to do about educating the youth in everybody, not just youth, but all of us, but especially the youth. Mental health care, everything. The income disparities, the economic turmoil of a global pandemic that put everybody in the hopper, both mentally, financially, stress, you name it. Those lead to increased drug uses.
I'm glad you brought up the education part. And I just want to say this, let's get away from the performative, get away from what's said on social media, get away from what's PC to say. No, get to the heart of truly how here in America, we really talk about drugs in this country, because the majority of discussions in families are this: just say no. Hey, don't do drugs. Don't do it.
They bring out their Nancy Reagan hand puppet to say that just say no.
Or you're naive because you say, my baby don't do drugs. Ooh, my baby's gone to school. They're enriched. Man, Spike, what is going on with that phone?
I'm turning it off. I'm turning it off. I apologize. People can't believe I'm on with G. Scott. That's the problem. I'm usually tucked away at 7 o'clock at night, but now I'm in prime time.
Prime time. So, all right, let's get on to the next topic. I think
before you do, you made a great point about the naivete of parents. And I know Ursula has shared that a close family friend lost their child to fentanyl. I mean, accidentally thought they were being safe and dangerous. I mean, experimenting, thought they were doing what kids have been doing for generations, taking something from a parent's cabinet and I'm not condoning that in any way, shape or form, but it's happened since God knows when, the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, all of it. I tell my kids one simple thing.
What's that?
Any mistake you make can be lethal. Make sure that, if you're going to try something, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to learn the hard way. That's what all kids have to do. They have to fall down and scrape their knees metaphorically. But just remember, now these days, the risk has changed. The rules have changed. Anything you do can be fatal. And I'm your first phone call. If you have questions, if you have concerns, if you're getting pressured, I don't care what you're in. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to get you home safe, first and foremost. So I apologize for ranting.
All right, so the Washington State Department of Health released updated guidelines for schools for the coming school year. It's integrating the rules at the new CDC guidelines that just came out as well. Here's CBS's Nancy Chen on the CDC guidelines.
The CDC is planning to simplify and streamline a wide number of its COVID-19 recommendations, starting in the classroom. According to a draft document obtained by CBS News, the changes could allow schools to relax their strict social distancing measures, which have already been effectively phased out by the CDC. They would also de-emphasize so-called test-to-stay strategies, where students exposed to the virus take regular tests to stay in the classroom.
Here in Washington, the new school rules are going to be when someone tests positive, they're required to isolate for 5 days, regardless of if they've had vaccination or not. And then they may return after the 5-day isolation period if they don't have symptoms. And so, Spike, do you think these more relaxed rules make sense?
I think they do, given the fact that the latest strains, it was ABCD5, I'm not sure what they're calling the latest variant of COVID-19, seem to be less harmful, more contagious, but less harmful, like a ripples in a pond. The initial blast of COVID was unknown and proved deadly. But these latest waves have become more like, more like a flu. And we're being cautious, but we're being realistic, more realistic than we were before because we just know more. So I think they do make sense. what am I doing?
Oh, no, it's just me, man. COVID's real. I want to start off by saying that
I'm with you there.
COVID impacts us all different. We're learning that. But there's one constant that does remain. I think one death, two, or even 50 here in the United States is still heartbreaking that it has continued to happen. We've lost over a million Americans to COVID. I've lost family members to COVID. And maybe you listening, maybe you've lost loved ones. And it's really serious. But I am going to continue to say this. It's here, right? And I think that these restrictions and protocols and what you need to do, and you need to go here for 5 days and you need to stay here for 5 days, and it's different based on which company you work for, and this person was exposed and this, but this person was in the same room and you didn't know. There's just so many moving parts to the point where I think that, Spike, I got to say this, man. Some of this is kind of like, all right, do the best you can, do the best we can. But I think that some of this is just way too strict right now when it comes to the isolation, the quarantine. You've got COVID and the person next to you did not have COVID, but that person can't go here. There's just too many moving parts, and it varies based on where you work or where you are.
Right.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It does. It does.
It is not. The death rate right now is 85% less than what it was.
Right.
Now, it's still not ideal, but at some point we're losing out on productivity continuing with this way.
Well, isn't the flu death rate similar to what COVID has diminished into?
Yes.
So we've always had these guidelines about the flu. Mm-hmm. And they're not strict mandates about 5 day quarantines or whatever the protocol is being offered at this point of our journey together through COVID. So, I mean, we have to acknowledge that what we're dealing with now is a different beast than it was 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I'm with you on caution. Believe me, I've lost family members to COVID. I've lost dear friends to COVID. But those were, I must say, in the initial wave of COVID-19, that initial blast that we didn't know about that was as strong as we've seen of any of the variants.
I say this all the time, and this is very simple. And you know, because sometimes I get the pushback on this discussion, and that's fine as we discuss this. But if someone is getting ready, let's say today is Thursday, someone is getting ready to get married on Saturday. Everything's paid for. You're ready to go. And all of a sudden, Friday morning, you had a little runny nose and you go to test and you test positive for COVID. No, stop right there. You only just had a runny nose. The wedding's canceled. Did you just hear what I said? The wedding technically is canceled because you have a little runny nose. And by the way, that's all you had. You only had a runny nose that morning, and you never had anything past that. Are we going to continue to live this way? I'm asking you that, Spike.
I think, first off, I'm sorry about your wedding. I'm glad you got yours under the wire. The thing about COVID is this. Some of us are so immunocompromised. Some of us are so much more vulnerable than others.
Yes.
You know, if you had the flu and you had the sniffles, you'd keep going to your wedding. So I see your point about, you know, let's understand what this variant of COVID brings to the table, what kind of danger it brings to those that we come in contact with. That's the thing about a virus, man, and an evolving virus that changes. Every mutation is a different beast. Viruses are alive and they're trying to survive, just like you, me, or the bears or the cougars, whatever they are. Everything that's alive fights to survive. That's just nature. And viruses are the same way. We've been lucky that these variants have progressed, it's gotten less and less and less and less severe. We didn't know that was going to be the case.
Nope.
For you folks that were this one lied, Fauci did this. They booed Fauci at the Mariner game. That's a whole different topic. Made me sick of my stomach. Yeah. You know, science evolves. You know, science changes. They don't lie. They make the best guess with what they educated guess with the information they have on hand, and they move forward as more information comes forth. And maybe that is what we need to do, G. Maybe we do need to say, look, you know, these latest variants aren't lethal. Maybe we should relax these things. I just worry about those of us who are more susceptible to what's going on. And sometimes you have to make people do the right things. I mean, wearing a seatbelt is smart, but if it wasn't law, more people would die in car accidents.
Hey, Spike, so I'm just going to turn this over because I want to make sure I get this straight. So if that's your daughter, mm-hmm, that's getting ready to get married on that Saturday, you have a runny nose on Friday. You test positive for COVID, and that's your symptoms. That's it. Are you telling me right now on the air that you're not going to your daughter's wedding and that you're just going to watch it on Zoom?
No, I could. I am not going to. I'm not going to lie to you. You're my friend. I am moving all the old people to the back row.
Oh, wait. You're not going to cancel the wedding?
Nope. If the caterer won't come, I'll have to cook myself, run some burgers, fry some people, some dogs, some burgers. We're going to downgrade the menu a whole bunch.
Okay.
But I'm with you. I'm with you. We got to make. There's got to be common sense. I'm with you. I see the common sense move.
Here we go. Hey, let's get one more in. Chris, what do you got?
Three separate cases on Wednesday's arraignment.
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong thing. Right now, Seattle has roughly 400 fewer officers than it needs to fully staff its precincts. One of the strategies that Chief Adrian Diaz is considering is cutting back on the number of overtime hours dedicated to police being at Seattle sporting events. Diaz asked, isn't there other agencies that could pick up the slack? Gee, do you think this is a good temporary solution, or do we need a full police presence at sporting events?
Full police presence at sporting events. And here's something that I felt a certain way. Councilmember Teresa Mosqueda, she had said this. She says, we need to, if not eliminate, severely and reduce the minimum requirements that Homeland Security might require for the sporting events so that we can remove officers from needing to do things like show up at sporting events just to shake people's hands or to manage traffic. And I just got to say this really quick. When I see law enforcement... And by the way, I go to a lot of sporting events. I think we know that. When I see law enforcement at games and I see all the work and jobs that they do, I never say to myself, man, this person sitting here, they ain't doing nothing. No, I want safety at games. I'm sorry. And the reason why you have a peaceful time at a game and you're able to leave, go to and from that game with your family in peace, you want to know why? Because law enforcement were doing their jobs. What you don't want to do is have to react to a problem. You want to continue to prevent the problem. So, Spike, do not loosen the restrictions on sporting events.
I'm a firm believer in everything you're saying there. You know, the presence of uniformed officers makes people behave. Just like a camera, even a camera with no film in it, makes people stop shoplifting because they think they're being watched.
Facts.
When people see the law officers, they will not run their mouth as much as they would, feeling unbridled. And people have been allowed to become the worst version of themselves over the last 5 to 7 years. Maybe there's a reason I'm not going to point it out right now. But we really do need to be checked as we run our gums in public places. And just be the worst. Don't be the worst version of yourself. Be the best. And bring out the officers.
9:47, we talk about the new host of Cairo Nights. I'm looking forward to that. But coming up next, why are there all of a sudden threats on the FBI? And what happened this morning as a result of that? We'll discuss that next. It's G and Ursula with Spike O'Neill filling in. What's up, everybody? It is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula is out today. Spike O'Neill fills in for Ursula. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will talk about the new host of Cairo Nights and what we can be expecting and what we can be looking forward to with that show. We'll talk about that at 9:45. But right now, in the days since Mar-a-Lago, that search, there have been threats against the FBI agents and law enforcement. The director of FBI, Christopher Wray, had strong words on Wednesdays for supporters of former President Donald Trump who have been using violent rhetoric.
As to the issue of threats, I will say that I'm always concerned about violence and threats of violence against law enforcement, and that is a topic that I have been talking about frequently. Violence against law enforcement is not the answer, no matter what anybody's upset about or who they're upset with. And I think we have in this country had over the last few years an alarming rise in violence against law enforcement. Last year, there were 73 law enforcement officers around this country who were killed in the line of duty, as in murdered in the line of duty. That's the highest number since 9/11.
Here's an example of threats some lawmakers have faced. Democratic California Rep. Eric Swalwell posted this phone call that he received on Twitter.
First of all, I want to say, not me, but I hope someone cuts that mother throat from ear to ear. Cut his head off. Swalwell's a worthless piece of shit. Cut his wife's head off, cut his kid's head off. I don't give a worthless piece of blaming everybody but himself.
And then earlier today, just this morning, there was a potential threat that was made at the FBI building in Cincinnati. A man was armed and may have had body armor on. The situation right now is still developing. It's gotten so intense, Spike, that Fox News' Steve Doocy had this to say this morning.
The FBI, with 35,000 members, you know, now they apparently are receiving a lot of specific field agents are receiving specific death threats because there are a number of people online and elsewhere who are demonizing the FBI and some Republicans. Paul Gosselaar, a Republican in your caucus from Arizona, said, "We must destroy the FBI. We must save America. I stand with Donald Trump." Marjorie Taylor Greene says, "Defend the FBI." I'm just curious, whatever happened to the Republican Party backing the blue, and in particular, the 35 members of law enforcement, federal law enforcement, at the FBI?
And, Spike, what happened? You tell me.
Well, first off, Doocy misspoke. Marjorie Taylor Greene didn't say defund.
She said defund.
Right. She didn't say defund. Let's make clear what they're saying.
Yeah.
Defund the FBI. And Gates is another one who said the same thing. And Gosar from Arizona or whatever his name is. Some of these folks are just mind-boggling that they're in the House of Representatives. There should, and I hate to say even say this, there should at least be an IQ test, maybe color within the lines test, of a constitutional comic book where if they can't color within the lines, they can't be in the House of Representatives. These folks have lost their mind, and the party of law and order. I mean, it's not just me or G saying it or Ursula or whomever or Dave Ross or it's Steve Doocy. It's the folks at Fox News. It's many responsible members of the GOP. But there are people who they have circled the wagons around former President Trump. You know, people who are supposed to be challenging him for a common sense conservatives who wanted to take America in a direction from a policy standpoint, like Ron DeSantis, like Ted Cruz, like whomever may have been a potential a GOP candidate in 2024. They say, oh, no, Trump's got the ultimate victim card now. He's our ticket back to power. Let's all circle the wagons and say that the entire Justice Department is corrupt. The FBI can't be trusted. The head of the FBI appointed by Trump can't be trusted. The judge who signed the warrant who was appointed by Trump can't be trusted. Everybody on the planet is conspiring to take down Donald Trump because he's one of us. Do we all have gold toilets? Do we all live in private estate communities? You know, they went to Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence in February and said, you took out a half a U-Haul trailer full of boxes. We'd like to know what's in there. We know a bunch of stuff you took out was not supposed to be taken out of the White House. It's our papers. It's not your papers. The Presidential Records Act says that every piece of paper you touch, every call you make, every snap you take, we'll be watching you. Everything the presidency touches belongs to the people of the United States. They work for us, whether it's Joe Biden, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Annie Bush, or Donald Trump. They work for us. You can't not have phone logs. You can't use burner phones during riots at the Capitol. There's a three-hour phone gap at the Capitol. Are you people really believing that this guy is the beacon of integrity and truth and the entire world is conspiring to take him down? I can't. If my kid said that to me about their homework being missing, yeah. I'd she'd never see TV again, never see her phone again. She'd be on such parental lockdown. But we're accepting this from the leader of the free world, potentially the most powerful man on the planet.
Here's where we continue to talk about this, and there is a continuation of the goalpost being moved. Now, I do this show every single day. I get accused of being against law enforcement. I'm accused of you always have it out for law enforcement, considering that both of my parents were law enforcement. It's interesting. But the reason why the same people that think that I have something against law enforcement are the same ones right now that are demonizing law enforcement. You see, the truth is, it's not really your love for them. It is a political thing for you to say these things. Before it was back the blue. Did you really mean that? Because I can tell you right now, me personally, I got love for law enforcement. Yes, I can show you pictures of me with
law enforcement.
It's literally in your blood. I mean, you were raised by members of the law enforcement community. I don't know if I remember in my life with more respect for the law enforcement.
No doubt about it. So again, these things that continue to happen. So now we have threats on the FBI on the heels of members that support Donald Trump telling you defund the FBI, telling you and saying that the FBI is political. Now,
there's accusations that Trump tweeted out, I hope they didn't plant anything. And then it was Rand Paul. I'm wondering if there was something planted. Then Marjorie Taylor Greene, the extreme nut at the end of the branch. I know they planted things. The FBI planted things at Mar-a-Lago.
Let's go to this. How about the media? Yes, the media. Remember the fake news media, the media that Donald Trump called the enemy of the people. Now, really quick, when Donald Trump called the media the enemy of the people, don't let me tell you about somewhere else. Let me tell you about right here at Cairo and how we had to get new security measures because of that. Yeah. That happens right here on the same radio station where you hear things being talked about. So these threats are real. And by the way, it's interesting that we are on the hill. Today is the day 5 years ago today, Charlottesville happened. You know, there's very fine people on both sides. Some of the same groups of people that were involved in Charlottesville. You ready for this? Drum roll. They were also some that stormed the U.S. Capitol building on January 6, 2001. And if you don't think that there is a very serious threat because of the rhetoric of one man that continues, you might want to wake up.
There's a saying that fish rots from the head back.
Coming up next, we talk about the new host of Cairo Nights. It's Gene Ursula. We'll skip on in. G and Ursula Show. Spike O'Neill is joining us right now. Spike, real quick, I called you Skip to close out, and the text line let me have it, I even sent you a text that said, man, my bad. And
hey,
I did.
I'll tell you a really quick story.
What do you mean?
We have had a band called The Impalers, Spike and The Impalers,
okay,
for almost 20 years now, and we did a charity event one night, and they had 500 t-shirts printed up that said Skip and The Impalers on the back.
No.
I swear. And I don't give a rat's patootie. Just get my name right on the check. But I pointed out to them, and they literally took them back to the silk screener, took gray paint and wiped over the Skip and put Spike on it. You know what? Slip of the tongue, it happens. No, it ain't nothing. Ain't no thing.
Okay, this new host. Oh, that new host is you, Cairo Nights.
Sorry, everybody.
Yes, it is you.
It's not some big announcement that's starting tonight at 7 o'clock. Different worlds are going to come to you.
So tell us, what are we going to be getting on Cairo Nights with Spike O'Neill? What do you got?
We have what I hope is a civil debate. What I hope is informed conversation. I hope that we can talk about the pressing issues of our day, i.e., some politics, some public policy, some law enforcement, some education, all the things that make our lives better, and we have to fight to make sure are how we want them to be. And when I say fight, I mean debate, I mean discuss, I mean vote. I don't mean take to the streets, because it's not your job to over. I got news for you, America. I'm a big believer in the Second Amendment, but it is not your job or my job to overthrow the government. And you can call me naive all you want to at that point, but gravy. You know, Gravy Seals and Meal Team 6 aren't the guys that are going to stop the U.S. Army from being tyrannical. That's not where we are. Don't believe the rhetoric. All I can say is this, I just betrayed my own rules. Please be civil. If you disagree with me, fine. Show me where I'm wrong. I would love to get smarter as the day goes on. I would love to get smarter as I grow older and fade off into the twilight of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I've been called so many names for my political points of view. You know, but I hope to be civil. I hope to be understanding and empathetic of opposing points of view.
Let me, you know, you brought up being civil, and I'll admit to you, and you seem this way as well, it took me a long time to not want to try to, well, there was a point in time where physically
I really would fight. But it took me a long time to just not want to verbally fight and all of those things. When did it happen for you where you got to the point where you're like, you know what, I can't fight you. I don't want to do that. I want to remain civil. When did that happen for you?
I am not the idiot whisperer. It is not my job to tell people that they're wrong, that they have to see things my way. I try to be as I'm still, it's evolving, G. I'm not there yet. But I can honestly say this. The person I love more than anybody on the face of the earth outside of my wife, let's have that disclaimer, my brother. My brother and I are 13 months apart. We're almost Irish twins, almost 13 months apart.
Okay.
My brother is so diametrically opposed to me politically, you would not believe it. Sometimes I wonder if one of us wasn't adopted. I can't believe we came from the same womb. But I love my brother with every fiber of my being. And I will debate him. I will counter every argument he makes with what I think are valid facts. I try to be as responsible as I can in getting my information from what I hope and count on being trusted sources. Nobody's perfect. Both sides lie. I get all that. There's an element of spin, if not just flat out dishonesty, that is just baked into politics and everything we do. And most media outlets. We try here at Cairo to be as straightforward. The news department, I've never seen a more responsible professional news department than here. This radio station is an institution in the Northwest. They're opinion hosts, and I am one of them. We give our take on the world. You know, and we try to give you our honest assessment of where we are and our honest, wholehearted beliefs on where we should go and where we're going, where we should go. And you try to be civil. And that's the thing. We've been given permission to be the worst version of ourselves in the last, I don't want to say just 7 years since the Golden Escalator ride. And I don't want to point out just one person because it takes a village to burn down the village next to it.
Well,
it really does.
You know, whenever I see that photo of the doctor that is standing there next to Frankenstein and that doctor that created Frankenstein, I always think about that, right? So we could always point to and blame the monster. But at some point, you got to sit around and look at the folks that built that monster.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. There's a lot of record.
And
of
everything's not Donald Trump's fault. Believe me, it's not. But like you're saying, when you build a mob, you better be able to control a mob.
Matthew texts in and says, "We all get more civil as our testosterone levels drop with age."
Hey, Matthew, I know that to be the fact.
Matthew, here's what I don't like about that. It's kind of some truth to that. Hey, coming up next, we do What's New at 10. We appreciate you for listening to the Gene Ursula Show. Spike O'Neill joins us.